From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studio. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's another COVID-19 conversation, the next of several that we've had on Newsmakers over the last year. It has been a year since the La Crosse area has been dealing with this this international pandemic that obviously is affecting us all. But it looks like we're starting to see some very positive news, and we'll talk about all of it today in terms of infection rates, in terms of vaccination rates, and all that kind of thing. We're joined by three special guests this morning on Newsmakers, and I'd like to welcome each of them to our program today. First, Dr. Joseph Podoruca is the ICU and pediatrics chair at the Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. Dr. Podoruca, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Thank you, Ezra. Excited to be here and share what knowledge we can push ahead for hope.
Tracy Myrie is the chief nursing officer at Toma Health. Tracy, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for inviting us. I'm excited to join this discussion.
And Rachel King is a health educator with the La Crosse County Health Department. Rachel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on. It'll be exciting to see what we talk about today.
Yes, and with that in mind, let's start with the health department and get, for La Crosse County, which is the largest section of our listenership here on Newsmakers, what's kind of the current trend in La Crosse? What do you see going on right now in terms of COVID-19 and the infection rate? How many positive cases we're seeing?
Yeah, Ezra, that's a great question, and one that we've been watching so closely for the last year. So it always feels like that's our first topic that we get to talk about. Today it's exciting news that I get to share is after looking at our data over the last week, we have seen our case rate decrease over the last month or so, and we are now feeling safer than we probably have in quite some time. Our case rate is down to 7 per 100,000 people, so that shows that our case rate is decreasing, as well as we're seeing a lot of exciting stuff happening with vaccination. So it's kind of this, like, we're watching both. We're seeing vaccination rates go up and we're seeing our disease rates go down, which is a lovely feeling at this point in time.
The vaccination seems to be the big topic of discussion and certainly will be a focal point of our discussion today. I want to talk about Toma for a moment because we have heard little bits and pieces of news from Toma, but this is the first time on Newsmakers that we've had the opportunity to welcome a guest from Toma Health on our show. And so Tracy Myrie, the chief nursing officer there, why don't you give a similar snapshot, if you can, for how your area is currently experiencing COVID-19?
Well, we are seeing similar things that they're seeing in La Crosse. Our case rates are going down. I know hospitalizations for us have greatly declined, which has been a positive thing. And we are seeing vaccination rates go up, not only of our employees, but we're also assisting the public health department locally to do vaccinations for our community.
In Toma and in the surrounding area, I'm interested in hearing over the last year, you have to have gone through the same kind of emotional and physical hurdles in trying to overcome the disease that everyone else has. Talk about what your journey has been there at Toma Health over the last 8 or 12 months.
Well, it has been a very interesting 12 months here. We, you know, had to institute our emergency preparedness plan, which we've had in place for a very long time, but we really put it to use over this last year. We opened up our incident command center. We have put in place a lot of, we've had an emergency response plan with a respiratory section of that for a long time, but we really had to put that in use, get our staff put into a different mindset and looked at all of our PPE and set up places within the hospital that we were going to take care of COVID patients. It's been a very busy 12 months. I feel like we've learned a lot. It's been stressful for the staff at times, but overall, I think, you know, it really has tested our teamwork and kind of put in place really working on using that emergency preparedness plan that we had prior. And so it's been an interesting journey. We've learned a lot.
Thinking back to that time that you mentioned where things were kind of at their highest level of activity for you in Toma, what was that experience like for you? What was the thing that sort of stands out as the biggest challenge that you had to overcome?
You know, I think the biggest challenge for us was kind of figuring out exactly what our role was going to be in the response. You know, we're a critical access hospital. We do have the two tertiary centers in La Crosse. And so really kind of looking at what our role was going to be as far as if we had this large surge, how would we partner with them to make sure that the sickest patients got to where they needed to go, but also to help relieve some of that congestion in the larger hospitals and maintain taking care of those patients that we could care for locally, which I feel like our region has done a really good job of working together to make sure we're meeting the needs of the patients in this part of the state.
That's Tracy Myrie from Toma Health. Dr. Joseph Podoruca is the ICU and Pediatrics Chair at Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. Dr. Podoruca, what about Mayo Health System? I was reading in the paper over the last couple of days that you've seen a dramatic decline in hospitalizations, leading to some good news at an earlier point this week.
You know, such an exciting time when we kind of reminisce on this last year. Just a few days ago, having zero patients in the hospital with COVID was really sobering. And if you go back to a year where we made the difficult decision to temporarily limit our care to our patients, that was a very hard decision, but it really took that effort to operationalize what a good plan would be. I remember back, March, April, looking at those projections of our hospital hitting capacity within weeks, us running out of ventilators, us running out of beds, setting up temporary units and garages and ambulance bays. It was really scary. And I'm sure we all remember the fear that came through. But really what we saw with people coming together, with teamwork, with innovation, problem solving was resiliency. And, you know, here at Mayo, of course, we were able to put together some innovative teams for individualized COVID care with our COVID task force, able to initiate a testing unit, drive-through testing. And then once we developed some novel therapies for those at risk, that outpatient infusion center, which may have spared inpatient admissions or the lives of many patients. So I think it really is a testament to the teamwork and innovation. And I think right now there's a general sobering sense of relief, but also gratitude with the communities we have here, both excellent health systems, community business partners, schools coming together, and then of course our public health department. And it's not surprising that when you look at the vaccination rates, I think La Crosse County in the region, nearly a quarter of patients of individuals in the community have received at least one vaccine. And that really is consistent with Wisconsin. I believe Wisconsin has the highest percentage of at least one vaccination of all the states as of yesterday. So sobering, teamwork, resiliency, gratitude. What a year it's been.
When you look back, Dr. Podoruca, at sort of the beginning, as a member of the public who doesn't know anything about medicine other than take two Tylenol, call me in the morning, it seemed like we were reading about all these different kind of treatment modalities that were being explored, and some of them, you know, talked about in the media as, you know, being the favorite of politicians or whatever, rather than the favorite of medical practitioners. How different is it now treating somebody with COVID-19 versus 12 months ago treating somebody with COVID-19? What can somebody who has the illness expect in terms of treatment that they might receive?
Well, I would say general relief and hope and a feeling of safety. Again, when this thing first started, we had to learn from the past. We had to go back to, you know, the SARS virus, the MERS, you know, what worked in those situations outside of standard of care, supportive care, ventilators, best patient management. And that's where the convalescent plasma from recovered donors came in. And then with more research investigation, we were able to target, you know, novel therapies of the virus itself, including these monoclonal antibodies. So instead of a broad cocktail of someone's donated plasma, what about that plasma was special? What about that plasma was attacking the virus? And narrow it down to those specific things to yield these antibody custom cocktails. And you remember those being popular, politicians having received those Some of those early medications were sort of throwing things at a dart and hoping something would hit on target. We had to study those. We had to do a lot of randomized controlled trials, and that takes patience, that takes time, that takes transparency. And really in medicine and science, we have to look at the data, and touting different therapies without studying them well was not the ideal way to go about it. But with time, now we stand here with the vaccine for that spike protein. This is an mRNA vaccine, as we know, not containing the specific viral particles, so very safe for the public. And three different vaccine vendors out here. We've learned so much outside of supportive care, and I think we'll be much better prepared if something like this occurs down the road.
As our conversation continues today, we're certainly going to talk more about the vaccine, which ones are available and who qualifies for them and when and that kind of thing. Rachel King from the La Crosse County Health Department is here with us as well today. I want to stay just on the topic of local cases and local treatment for a moment. We always extend an invitation to both hospital systems, both medical systems here in our community. Gunderson's not able to join us today. But in terms of overall, Rachel, we heard the good news from Mayo that at least a couple days ago, there was nobody hospitalized for COVID for the first time in a long, long time. Overall in our community, what's that hospitalization rate looking like as it continues to trend downward?
Yeah, that's something we've been watching too. And I would say, Mayo may have had none earlier this week, but I know that Gunderson is probably seeing some pretty similar numbers. Our hospitalization rate is down to 2.3 hospitalizations per 100,000. So we're seeing that rate dramatically decrease, especially when you think back to what it looked like in the later parts of 2020, when we had those hospitalization rates were incredibly high for both of our healthcare systems. Knowing that we might run out of beds to have people taken care of in, and now we're getting to the point where we feel like this is a much more easy to handle situation. And so I think that the hospitalization rate is looking amazing. I think the case rate is looking amazing. It's such a hopeful situation that we're in right now, and hoping that there isn't anything that really throws us off track and we can keep going in the same trend.
Do we know at this point, Rachel, whether the hospitalization rate declining is a term is sort of the result of better treatment available for people earlier on, or are we finding out about the illness earlier? Is it just not as severe in our area as it used to be? What's leading to that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different parts to that. And the first thing I would say is that overall, we've seen that there is a majority of the people who do come down with COVID to have a more mild case. So those are the people who aren't going to need to seek out hospitalizations or emergency care. They may be sick, they may get tested positive, but they're able to usually take care of themselves pretty well at home. And so when you look at the severity of the disease, we have over half of the people who are feeling like it's more of a mild severity. So that's a good thing always to talk about. The other thing that I think is important to talk about is that those who did see more severe disease typically were in the older age ranges. And what we've really focused on in this early part of the vaccination is that we want to make sure the people who are at the most risk for having a severe disease are those who are getting those vaccines first. And so that's why we did see a lot of people in the 65 and older population were pushed towards the front and asked to get their vaccinations earlier than those younger groups, because it could help reduce the amount of severity of a disease in a community. And so I think it's kind of twofold. It's one that we've seen a lot of mild cases. And the other is that those people who were having more severe cases have already been vaccinated. So there's a lot of decrease in the amount of people who are needing that hospitalization.
That's Rachel King. She's a health educator with the La Crosse County Health Department. We're talking about COVID-19 today on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. We're also joined by Dr. Joseph Podoruka, the ICU and pediatrics chair at the Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. Tracy Myrie is also with us. She's the chief nursing officer from Toma Health. I'm Ezra Wall. Our show continues in just a moment. Remember, if you'd like to find out more about our program, if you'd like to hear part of this interview again, or if you'd like to stream on demand any of our previous shows, you can find them all at our website. It's WPR.org/newsmakers. We continue in just a moment on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios on the campus of UWL. I'm glad you could join us today for our conversation about COVID-19. We're visiting with Tracy Myrie, the Chief Nursing Officer from Toma Health, Rachel King, the health educator at La Crosse County Health Department, and Dr. Joseph Podoruka, the ICU and Pediatrics Chair at Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. And I'm going to turn our attention now to the vaccine. We've brought up the vaccine and the vaccination rates a little bit in our previous segment, but a growing number of people obviously getting one of three available vaccines right now in the U.S. Let me turn to Rachel King from the Health Department in La Crosse County. Rachel, talk about what vaccines are available to most of our listening area, which is basically La Crosse County.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have quite a few options, as you'll hear, in our community. And we do have a regional clinic as well, which is located at UWL on the campus, that was just set up recently with the Department of Health Services and AMI, who are the people who are providing the vaccination clinic for us. But that's more of a regional clinic where we're trying to pull in pretty much anybody to from our region to get vaccinated at that location. But there are a lot of options. So one is that site at UWL, which you can access their information at vaccinate.wi.gov. And you can register and get your appointment scheduled there. There's also obviously your primary care providers, and the two healthcare systems in our area are a wonderful place to get a vaccine as well. You can either call your primary care provider or try to get scheduled through one of your online apps. I know there's a couple of options for that as well. And then we have a lot of pharmacies in our area that are able to offer vaccines. So if you're curious about any of the places that you can go, we have more information on our website. It's at lacrossecounty.org/COVID-19/vaccines. And it really breaks it down and gives you a bunch of the different options that are available for our community. And it'll provide, you know, phone numbers and email addresses or places where you can link in and then get your appointment scheduled. So for anybody who is currently eligible, you can already get on and register for those appointments.
Tracy, what about over in your area? You're outside of La Crosse County, and a different situation exists over there. What is vaccine availability looking like at Toma Health and the surrounding area?
So we are partnering with our local health department, and the health department does have a form online that people can go to fill out. And so the Gunderson Clinic in Toma is working with the public health department at the fairgrounds a day a week. The Mayo system is working with the public health department a day a week in Sparta. And then Toma Health is also doing vaccine clinics. This week we're doing 5 days and we are all getting our information from the public health department's website. They're sharing the list as people sign up, and then we are all kind of divvying up, making sure that we get a vaccine out to the community members. We also have pharmacies in our area that are doing a vaccine as well, which are Walgreens in Sparta, the Walmart in Toma, the Medicine Shop in Toma are all doing vaccines as well.
In terms of how long it takes to get a vaccine, an appointment to do it, assuming someone is eligible, Tracy, and they can get in touch with their provider or someone who can get them in the correct line, how long is it usually taking between the time somebody decides I'd like to sign up and the time they actually can get a shot in their arm?
Our vaccine rollout here in Monroe County has gone exceedingly well. We actually are kind of a little bit ahead. We are fully through group 1A of those people who are interested, and group 1B. We just finished with that group. So we're starting on 1C with everyone else. So it's actually gone very well.
Dr. Joseph Podoruka from the Mayo Clinic Health Systems, you have no doubt seen a lot of people come through your clinics for vaccinations. What is that process like, and how's it been going for you guys at Mayo?
Yeah, no, we're fortunate to partner with the county and have a great pool of internal resources to operationalize our vaccine center, which has been very successful. As it stands now, if you are a Mayo patient, you'll be contacted either by phone, or you'll get a notification through the patient online services or the portal, or it's an application to go in and get the first or a second vaccine. of course, this totally depends on availability of the product, which may be variable based on site. Some are going to Gunderson, some are going to the pharmacies, some are going to the health department. So we're really awaiting a robust supply in the months ahead, particularly as we target, as we're aware, this tier 1-3, which is the individuals who are 16 and above, who a little bit overweight, body mass index above 25, or have other chronic comorbidities, targeted now moved up to just this month, this next week, the 22nd, I believe. So that is exciting to hear about, with a goal target based on what we hear at the federal level of the vaccine available to all adults in this country by May 1st. An ambitious target, but we seem to be moving in the right direction to getting us more fully vaccinated, targeting that herd immunity close to 80%.
A lot of people, Rachel, are worried about missing out here on their opportunity to get the vaccine. I've heard from multiple people who say, okay, I filled out the interest form on the county health department website in my county, but that's not all. I also called, you know, my doctor and somebody else's doctor, and I called the pharmacy, and I called, you know, a bunch of different places to see if I can get on different lists in terms of getting an appointment. First question related to that, Rachel, is if someone looks at the list from the state and they are not in a category that's eligible yet, is there any way they're going to skip the line?
I don't think so. So that's one of the great things about having this system set up with the Department of Health Services, is that you can go on and register at any point in time. The information that you fill out for them will help them identify when you become eligible. And as soon as you are eligible, you get sent that email to start scheduling. So that's one of the best parts about this new system that we have with the Mass Community Clinic site at UWL. But I do know that there is, you know, many places that you can access vaccine. And I know all of our vaccinators are working really hard to follow the guidelines that have been set out for us, knowing that we're working together and at a really good clip. I think the only thing that's really held us back so far is just being able to access the vaccine supply. We've been able to really get through our sectors of people who are eligible and make sure that we are able to focus on those people who are currently eligible, working from that 1A down to the 65 plus, and then following with all of our 1B. We do know that for La Crosse County, that is quite a bit of people who are eligible. And so we're hoping to make sure that we stay in those guidelines, following those who are eligible, and then working on those next eligible groups as they come forward.
So on the other part of my comment about people going to multiple places to express an interest in receiving the vaccine, if they're on one list, are they on all the lists? If they've registered with the county health department, is that enough?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, and something we hear quite a bit. There are a lot of people who are very interested in this vaccine, and that's a great thing to see. And so those people who are really ambitious and want to go out there and find the first available vaccine for them, you know, I applaud the effort. There are different ways to get signed up. And I would say anybody who's come through the health department, we are doing a system very similar to what Tracy explained for Monroe County, where we brought in names and we were able to kind of divide them out with all of the vaccinator groups that we're working with. So anybody who's currently filled out a form has already been passed over to one of those vaccinators, and as vaccine becomes available, that's when the scheduling begins. So as long as they filled out a form with us, they will have been taken care of. And then I know as we move into this new site with the Department of Health Services, they have a little bit of a different system, but the same thing applies.
Dr. Podoruka with the Mayo Clinic Health System, we see a lot of people. In fact, I heard a news report today about vaccine people who are resistant to this vaccine, and who just in spite of the information provided by the healthcare establishment and the government, they don't trust those sources, and they just are really not sure about this vaccine. What is it that's leading to that level of it isn't apathy, it's really resistance to getting this vaccine?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think we look at patterns of human resistance, and you know, if you take it from an approach of one being they don't understand it, perhaps they think they'll get COVID from it. And again, this is a vaccine that's not made from the COVID virus itself. It's the spike protein that the antibody is actually to. These unique class of mRNA vaccines, quite different. So if you look at it from resistance in terms of, don't agree with the science. Well, we now have studies that are showing even one dose of the vaccine, even better two, reduces the chances of infection for sure, and then reduces asymptomatic spread, even if you were exposed to it. Simply put, the vaccine works. And when you look at sort of the pipeline of guidance coming through with the CDC, some of these new recommendations with how the vaccine can allow us to really become free from the constraints of quarantine and social distancing. Just in the last week, the CDC put out that vaccinated individuals can now be indoors without masks or physical distancing. If they were exposed to someone that's asymptomatic with COVID, they don't need to go and be tested. They can simply quarantine, or they can simply monitor for symptoms. So some of these recommendations coming out are giving credence to what the science is showing us, that the vaccine works. And the faster that we can get to that target of herd immunity, 80%, the more likely we'll be able to get back to, quote, normal as we had it.
Another argument that we hear is that, well, this vaccine came out so quickly. It just was what you hear a lot is people saying that it was rushed through the process, or that, you know, it was brought into the marketplace very quickly as compared to other vaccines. And it was, to be fair. So what about people that have concerns with that and they just want to take a wait and see approach? They're not against getting it. I just want to wait 6 or 8 months and see, when all my friends and relatives get it, what happens to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, vaccines take years to develop. And the reason for it primarily is they need to go through these tiered stages of study, different phases, as we call it, to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that they're effective, starting with animals and a certain subclass of humans, and then different demographics of people, including pregnant women and children. And to a certain degree, there was pressure to end the pandemic. This vaccine was slow played from appropriate ethical scientific standpoint, but was able to be pushed out to deliver a satisfactory product that would be safe and effective. And in the studies that we're looking in subpopulations, including pregnant women, this vaccine is found to have been safe and effective. So just understanding what the data and the science is telling us, keeping ourselves knowledgeable, educating ourselves, we can learn that this vaccine is safe.
And I would add to that even, Dr. Paderucca, that we have had such groundbreaking movement with this one. And I think part of the reason is because they've built on previous science, right? So it's not like they created something brand new from the start. They worked on the vaccine with previous science already developed, and then they dedicated the entire year for this vaccine. And you know, the time, the effort, and the resources that go into creating this vaccine were really all put to focus on COVID-19 this year. And so, none of the safety steps were skipped. It was just a matter of everybody was really focusing their effort in on creating this vaccine and making sure that it was safe and that it worked before rolling it out.
No, and that's a great point. And while we've pipelined this on a fast track, keep in mind that this vaccine is thought to confer some protection against some of these strange variants that we're learning about.
That's Dr. Joseph Paderucca from Mayo Health Clinic, Mayo Clinic Health System, and Rachel King from the La Crosse County Health Department. Tracy Myrie is with us as well from Toma Health. Tracy, what about in your community, as people, a lot of people are getting the vaccine, excited about it, waiting for those appointments. What are you hearing from people who don't want to get the vaccine?
You know, we have had the same resistance in our community within our own workforce. We've spent a lot of time trying to educate, make sure that we're getting correct information out there, trying to kind of re-educate on disinformation that is out there. So really trying to make sure that people understand that this is safe to get. I know we did the very first vaccine dose in the county here at the hospital. And I remember going down the very first day when we were giving the first dose and just seeing the relief on some of the people who were getting the vaccine, the relief on their face. It really was emotional, not only for the people who were getting it, but for the staff who are able to give the vaccine. And I think sometimes that is, you know, that really is the best word of mouth, I guess it will say, is for people to be able to see that it is safe, and other people, other family members in the community who have gotten it, you know, haven't had really ill effects from it. But also being honest with people who are going to get it, that, you know, there are some side effects and what to expect. So people don't think that they're getting this vaccine and that, you know, something awful is going to happen to them.
I hear a lot of people talking just anecdotally about, hey, look out for that second shot. That's when it really hits. Is that, does that ring true with what you're seeing? I see just a ton of people who say the first shot was nothing. The second shot, I really felt sick for a day or two.
You know, at least within our organization, we did kind of see across the board that, you know, people had varying degrees of response to the vaccine, but I would say by and large, you know, most people really didn't have the severe reactions that I know that everybody was kind of talking about. We did see in the some people who had COVID prior, you know, back before when COVID first came out and got the vaccine, some of them said they had more of a strong reaction. But overall, you know, people, I think, were feeling like the vaccine response wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be, I guess, is what I would say.
That's Tracy Myrie from Toma Health. We're talking about COVID-19 today on Newsmakers. If you would like to stream part of this conversation again, you can find it on our website. That's where you can find the rest of our shows as well. If you see a conversation from a month or two ago that you enjoyed, we'll listen to it again. It's all available online at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our program continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio, you're listening to Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwestern Bureau in La Crosse. Thank you very much for tuning in today to our conversation about COVID-19. We're visiting with Tracy Myrie, the Chief Nursing Officer at Toma Health. Also with us today, Dr. Joseph Podoruka, the ICU and Pediatrics Chair at Mayo Clinic Health Systems in La Crosse, and Rachel King, the Health Educator at La Crosse County Health Department. I'm grateful for all of our guests joining us today. We've been talking about the vaccines available for COVID-19 and their efficacy. Let me turn back to Rachel King from the Health Department right now. There are three vaccines that I think have been approved for use in the United States. Two of them are the two-dose vaccines that we talked about. There's been much conversation about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which only requires one shot. Which ones are available in the La Crosse area? Does a patient have any choice as to which vaccine they're about to receive?
Yeah, so that's something that we get asked quite a bit, especially when we're scheduling appointments. People are very curious which vaccine they'll be receiving and can they choose which one they get. A lot of that actually is still left up to state distribution. So it's on a week-by-week basis. We'll kind of know what we're getting for next week, but the following weeks we won't really have a clue until it comes up. I know that currently we probably have all three circulating in our community, depending on what vaccinator you're seeking or who has what available this week. But what I would say as far as, you know, Johnson & Johnson is a one dose, so that makes it a little bit simpler for scheduling purposes. And the other two do have a two dose series, so you want to make sure that you're available either 3 weeks or 4 weeks out from your first dose. You want to make sure you're available to get that second dose and get yourself fully vaccinated through those ones. I would say as far as having a choice, you know, it's nice to have a choice sometimes, but what we're seeing with this vaccine is that all three of them are effective in the same ways. So they are all reducing the amount of severity of disease. They are all really great at preventing hospitalizations and death. So when you're offered a vaccine and you have one that you know is available, that is the best vaccine to be taking at that time. So if you are connected somewhere and you have a vaccination scheduled already, keep that appointment and you'll get your vaccine and it'll be effective. And that's really the most important part.
Dr. Podoruka mentioned in our previous segment the CDC releasing some guidelines about how people who have been fully vaccinated can sort of encounter the rest of the public, what changes, what doesn't change. Let's go greater into detail with that, Rachel, in terms of those new CDC guidelines. Now that the vaccine is starting to roll out, when somebody has the vaccine, are they just, no holds barred? They're in the clear now, they can go back to normal, or how does that work?
Well, there will be a little bit of going back to normal. I wouldn't say it's going to be 100% back to what we used to have. And part of the reason for that is not everybody is going to be vaccinated right away. So we're still working on getting our community vaccinated. And until we see really large amounts of our community fully vaccinated, I would say when you're still out in public, going shopping or being in some type of large gathering, you're still going to need to wear your mask. You're still going to want to do the socially distancing and washing your hands, making sure you're not touching your eyes, all of those really great practices we've talked about this last year. However, where you are going to see the difference is after you've been fully vaccinated and your immunization is all set, so that usually means 2 weeks post your second dose, you will be able to socialize with others who have either been vaccinated themselves. And then at that point, you don't need to wear your mask and you don't need to socially distance because everybody in that room is going to be protected through their own vaccine, right? So there's one great part. The other thing that you want to be aware of is you can gather with those who are unvaccinated as long as they're part of a low risk population. So as long as they're not going to have experience some severe disease if COVID were to be transferred to them, you can still visit with them without masks. So that's another thing. Even if they're unvaccinated, if they're low risk, those two households can meet together and still treat each other like we used to. So there are some semblances of normal where we used to be able to kind of gather together and just be near each other. But I would say that one difference is even if you're vaccinated, you're still going to need to be wearing your mask out in public until we can really see the rest of our population get protected the same way that you are.
Tracy Myrie from Toma Health, what are you hearing about the vaccine? Once people in Monroe County are fully vaccinated, are they still, the risk is low for them, but are they still able to carry the potential exposure for COVID-19 around to other people?
I would defer to Dr. Podoruka to specifically say in Monroe County, though, as far as within our organization, we're following the same rules we're promoting the same rules that have been released by the CDC. Mostly overseeing the healthcare setting, we're still working with our employees to understand that although they can have some changes outside of work, that within our organization, we still, we really haven't made a lot of changes because of the rate of vaccination within the community and with the population that we are serving. So outside of work, people can do some gathering within their home with other people who are vaccinated. But within our walls, we're still not able to make a lot of changes within the healthcare setting.
And that goes right in line with what the CDC is recommending in terms of people who have been vaccinated are not advised to just go out all over in public and just carry on as normal either. They're still urged to take precautions, aren't they?
Yes, that is true. And we are actually seeing people in the community are sometimes confused with that. We have people who are coming in who don't want to follow the restrictions that we still have in place because they say, well, I've been vaccinated now. So doing a lot of re-education to the community as we're interacting with them is becoming very important. Trying to help them understand that we're not trying to make it harder for them to access healthcare or to be, to be naysayers, but still to try to keep our patients and them safe as they're coming into the healthcare setting.
Dr. Podoruka, what about that question of somebody who's been vaccinated? Are they still able to be a carrier of COVID into their community?
Yeah, well, if you think about how the vaccines work, right, your body will be ripe and amped up, ready to go to face an exposure to the virus. Does that mean you'll be completely an asymptomatic in terms of your infectious burden? Probably not. But does that mean your body will face some sort of immunologic inflammatory response in response to encountering COVID? Probably. Does that confer that you're 100% not able to transmit the virus? No. So that's why maintaining, you know, some of these social distancing, masking in areas where you might be exposed are so important. Until everybody's vaccinated, we have to maintain these standards. It is not time for the end of pandemic, you know, celebration and party with your friends. Individual dinners, both vaccinated, low risk, unmasked, okay. But now is not the time. We will get there.
That you've brought up what, you know, what I've considered to be a bit of a perfect storm situation, where now you see numbers declining in many of our communities. You see numbers rising in terms of people being vaccinated. You see the whole fatigue with the whole thing, where some people are just like, I don't care if I get it. I'm just sick of living the way that we've been living recently. Do you think people are becoming complacent? And if so, how do you keep people from becoming complacent?
I think there's a little bit of that going on right now. You have those resistant individuals to the vaccine. Like was mentioned, there's some issues in mainstream media that can be confusing. I think COVID fatigue is playing a role, but I think COVID has impacted enough people on a personal level. Almost everybody you meet has some sort of story of someone, you know, in the hospital or someone that unfortunately passed away, that the sobering reality is really becoming more apparent, and people are starting to buy in. So that gives me a lot of hope. And it's part of why we as Americans and Wisconsinites are so resilient. So I would just think that we maintain the message that the vaccine is effective. Get a dose when you can. Don't worry about the vaccine type. Maintain social distancing. We have a plan in place. And as we get closer to May 1st, vaccine becomes more available. We can get closer to how things were before.
I want to talk about how people who have not been vaccinated and who are not ill with COVID-19 should behave now, or what the recommendations are. You see restaurants operating at higher capacity. You see more and more people out and about shopping, and the weather is nice. At least it's nice on more days than it was a few weeks ago. And you see people out enjoying the weather. And Rachel King from the County Health Department in La Crosse, what are the recommendations now in terms of, are you still advising people to stay home if they can, to not go anywhere, to, you know, all these quite strict recommendations that were in place for months and months? And is that really realistic?
Yeah. So I think taking it back to when we were just closing down businesses and really being urged to stay at home because it's safer at home, all of those messages that we've been hearing this last year have really been not just hard on our economy, but hard on people. And I think from the health department's viewpoint, we understand all of that. You know, we're in this in the trenches the same way as everybody else is. We've really learned that staying home is hard on people. Being socially distanced is hard on people. And so what we've been working on is, as our disease rates go down and as we see our vaccination rates go up, we've been encouraging people to still maintain these practices that are going to keep you safe, are going to keep others safe. So wearing your mask when you're out in public, but knowing that it's really important to be able to be out in public, right? So I would say, is it going to be safer at home? Sometimes. But it's also a good thing to be out in the public as long as you can maintain some of those social practices that will keep you safe. So, you know, I think it's really important to balance our physical health with our mental health. And we need to be able to be social creatures. That's, you know, what we were created to be. We are social creatures. And so being able to go out and do some shopping, go out and potentially be at a restaurant, these are good things for us. And so as long as you can take those prevention steps to keep yourself safe, because we know that not everybody's vaccinated yet. And we also know that there are going to be variants of this virus that come into our community. And so those are some things that can cause some ups and downs with where it's safer to be, whether it's at home or whether it's out going shopping. But I would say overall, we need to continue to take those practical steps that can ensure some of your safety when you're out and about, but knowing that with the great weather, and as we near closer to spring, there are going to be more people out and about. And so that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that's a hopeful thing at this point.
Speaking of being outside, How do the recommendations differ outside versus inside?
Yeah, so if you're outside, there are less restrictions, I feel like. Not that you shouldn't be wearing a mask, but again, I think the same kind of things follow with the CDC guidelines. So if you're out and about with a group of friends who are, everyone is vaccinated, you're probably not going to need to wear your mask as long as you're not in a large gathering area. So for example, if you're out taking a hike and you are with a group of friends that have already been vaccinated, or they're low risk and you've been vaccinated, it is still a safe practice to go out and to be social and to be able to enjoy some of the nice weather that we're having.
Dr. Podoruca, I wanted to, sir, I think we did touch on this in the beginning of our conversation, but it's on my list to make sure to ask very specifically. And so I want to make sure that we do. There have been new variants of COVID-19 as the disease has evolved over the last year, and some of which have made it to the U.S., and at least one of which has been detected in our county in a couple of patients or one patient or something like that. So how concerned do people need to be about this? They start hearing about new mutations of the virus and they just get these horror pictures in their mind about this brand new thing taking over all over again. How concerned do people need to be about new variants of COVID-19 that they hear about in the news?
Yeah, so, you know, new variants can occur and disappear at any time during a viral pandemic. Some can persist. And, you know, we saw those with the hotspots, kind of these mutations, variants originating in the UK, that B117, and then also in Brazil and then South Africa, to a lesser degree, different variants. We do know that these variants spread more quickly, which may lead to more cases and put on hospital burden, healthcare burden, and then morbidity to patients. Preliminary studies do show that the vaccine does recognize the variants, which is hopeful. There's still a lot we don't know. We don't know how widely these variants have been spread, or it takes in some cases genetic analysis. We're identifying here now in the county. We don't know if the burden of medical complexity or severity, how that portends with each individual mutation. So it really calls to mind that we still need to be vigilant with some of these practices that we've been preaching here today. It's not sort of a call the alarm. Again, we have therapies that are effective and proven. We have a vaccine that is recognizing these variants from preliminary studies. So I would just reassure, provide a sense of calm, but also community and citizen stewardship with these practices we've been talking about.
Dr. Joseph Podoruca is the ICU and pediatrics chair for Mayo Clinic Health Systems in La Crosse. Dr. Podoruca, thank you very much for being with us today on Newsmakers.
Happy to be here.
Tracy Myrie is the chief nursing officer for Toma Health. Tracy, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Rachel King is a health educator at the La Crosse County Health Department. Rachel, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Ezra.
We've been talking about COVID-19 today on the program, and if you'd like more information about this show, you can find it on our website. It's wpr.org/newsmakers. Thanks to all of our guests today, and thanks for those who helped produce the show, including Dawn Jewell and John Davis. I appreciate their assistance each and every week. For the rest of the La Crosse staff, I'm Ezra Wall. Please join us again next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.